top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Wednesday, November 25th, 2020. I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. Here are the headlines. A former IMF economist, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, highlights one of the major mistakes made by Caribbean governments when seeking to advance their country's economies. 61-year-old Spanish Town Jamaican marine engineer Ralph James, who was accused of possession of a huge quantity of cannabis with intentions to supply, was remanded in police custody in Barbados last week. A Democratic election strategist, Kelly Hyman, says Joe Biden's centrist experience at cabinet selections will serve with the U.S. well, with diverse faces, a lot of experience, and will represent what is great about America. The news is brought to you for the very kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. The details of these stories and more coming up next.
Wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
And welcome back. Economist Dr. Thompson Fontaine highlights one of the major mistakes made by Caribbean governments regarding the obsession with the monocrop or mono-industry approach to gaining revenue, leaving their country wide open for failure in the event of a domestic or global crisis. Speaking on Q95 recently, Dr. Fontaine cautioned against this mono-economy reliance and provided examples of what Caribbean governments must do to develop a more sustainable and viable economy for business.
What I would propose, and as we talk about solutions tonight and the way forward, is that when you have a dominant industry, is that that is the time that you use the gains, you use the rewards from this dominant industry to kickstart or to set up some other industry or other industries that can take the slack. So for example, in Dominica, we have a situation of the dominance of the sale of passports. You want to use these windfalls, you want to use this tremendous amount of resources that is being gained to kickstart the manufacturing sector. You want to use this money to build up the tourism sector, to build up the manufacturing, to build up agriculture. Use these resources in the dominant sector to invest in the other sectors and to attract additional investment. That's the way forward. That's what we do. But what we see is that this continuous neglect of all the sectors of the economy, simply because we are okay. We think we're doing okay because we have one dominant source of income. And I think that is a fundamental problem that we have in all of the countries of the Caribbean, not only in Dominica.
And that was economist Dr. Thompson Fontaine. And a prominent farmer and United Workers Party member, Glenroy Soso Cuffy, says he's sick and fed up of hearing Dominican leaders complain about the black Sikotoka disease as an excuse not to finance and market banana crops effectively and to secure additional export earnings. Cuffy says Dominican leaders and agriculture personnel need to get serious and advance Dominica's banana exports, amongst other things. Glenroy Cuffy went on to list examples of countries with black Sikotoka disease and noted due to effective implementation of management practices and assistance programs, these small countries have proper control over that crop disease and are leading in banana exports globally.
And with respect to black Sikotoka, I'm sick and fed up of hearing that we have black Sikotoka. And you're on the island that will say black Sikotoka kill bananas. For farmers who do the musa species, like the bananas and the plantains, black Sikotoka cannot be eradicated, but can be controlled. Every banana growing region in the world has black Sikotoka. Ecuador, the number one country exporting in the export market, They have black Chigatoka, but yet they're number one in the world. And they do over 30, 40 tons per acre. So that's inexcusable.
And that was a prominent farmer and United Workers Party member, Glenroy Sosokofi. And medical officer, Dr. Andy Santelia, believes education, beginning with children, is pertinent in helping individuals understand the importance of weight management and healthy eating.
Education, education, education. And what we're doing here is sending the information out to the people, if it means a cultural shift in terms of what we perceive to be thick, sexy and good. So we have to educate our people, and we have to start from small in the primary schools, from the very early age, to educate and have a mind shift.
And that was a medical officer, Dr. Andy Santelia, speaking briefly to school nutrition or school nutrition policy in schools. Ahead of the health promotion unit, Nurse Mignan Roll Shillingford agrees with Dr. Santelia. The school nutrition policy aims to change the behavior and attitudes of children from a primary school level.
What that will do will, for one, if we can go into the HFLE curriculum, for example, and change and introduce healthy eating and meal planning, how you eat your food. And after we would go into the schools through the HFLE, then through our school feeding program, we will do demonstration. So the way we would feed the children would be exactly how their plate should look like. What portion of fat, what sugar, what carbohydrate, what proteins. Apart from that, it also addresses physical activities in school. How many minutes per day? How many minutes per day? How many times per week? Having the accommodations and the equipment. It speaks to the sale and the ban of sugary drinks at school. You know, in terms of, we have to say it as it is, sometimes the schools themselves sell soda as a form of fundraising. You know, these are the type of things that need to stop. You know, so that is why this school nutrition policy have been done and needs to be implemented, because I'm totally in agreement that we need to start from the very small kids.
And that was Roel Shillingford, as she also expressed her support for increased VAT on alcohol, cigarettes and sugar beverages.
It has shown internationally and through study that if you increase taxation on these risk factors of NCDs, it will decrease demand and onset of new users.
And there are a multitude of reasons.
And that was a nurse, Mignan Roel Shillingford. And diabetes specialist Dr. Lisa Jolly says medical practitioners need to be better at explaining to patients with chronic diseases the seriousness of the condition and the importance of medicine compliance. She says medical practitioners also need to be better at educating patients about the side effects of their medicine.
And there are a multitude of reasons. Sometimes it's health literacy, so they may not understand, or we also, as doctors and nurses, we need to be better at explaining to them that your pressure is high. This is a chronic condition. You have high blood pressure. This is a chronic condition. This is something that you will have for the rest of your life. And so you need to take medication to help manage or to help your body tolerate these higher blood pressures until you are told not to do so. I think we have to be better at educating our patients about the common side effects of the medication. And we need to be better about asking them at their visit if they're experiencing those side effects, so that if they are, then we know that we can change to an alternative form if that is an issue.
Dr. Jolly says medical practitioners need to be more proactive in terms of managing high blood pressure.
And also if they have issues in terms of accessing the medication, whether it's too expensive, or, you know, they have problems in terms of transportation and going back and forth to the health center, then we really should make it easier for them. Because once they develop these complications, whether it's the kidney issues or whether it's the heart issues associated with high blood pressure, it actually costs more to manage these conditions. And oftentimes it doesn't get better. And so we really need to be more proactive from the get-go.
And that was a diabetes specialist, Dr. Lisa Jolly. And it is important for the entire family to get involved in positive financial practices, says Trevor Blake, CEO of the Eastern Caribbean Securities Exchange. Speaking on a special edition of the ECC program, Mr. Blake highlighted the importance of financial management, saving, budgeting and the like. During his session, he emphasized on the importance of family budgeting and says that though we may not want to involve our children in money matters at a young age, it is important to educate them on it so that they may have a better understanding of the financial cost to some of their demands.
It is important for the entire family to be involved in this. Everybody who's involved in the household should be involved in the budgeting. And I know sometimes we don't like to involve our kids in money matters. Sometimes we want to shield them from these things. But it is important you bring everybody together, at least everybody who's spending any of the family's resources or anybody who is able to make a claim on those resources. It's important to have that discussion with your kids so that they know what they could reasonably ask for. They know what is just outside of the means of the family budget. It's important that they are involved in the process and they know exactly what these expenses are and how much income is available to meet these expenses.
And that was Trevor Blake, CEO of the Eastern Caribbean Securities Exchange. And Education and Outreach Manager of Seismic Research Center, or SRC, Stacey Edwards, encourages the persons to practice regular earthquake drills. During a damaging earthquake, life-protecting actions must be taken immediately. There will not be time to decide what to do next, as everyone must already know how to react appropriately. After an earthquake, further life-protecting actions, such as emergency evacuation or first aid administration, may be necessary, as well-trained staff and students will guarantee that these crucial steps are taken as quickly as possible. Earthquake drills and exercises are an extremely important part of your preparedness plan because, one, they teach students, staff and parents how to respond to the complications of an earthquake, and two, to help evaluate how well all parts of your emergency plan work together and how well your staff and students have been trained.
And that's why we encourage people to practice what to do during an earthquake regularly during drills, because if you practice during the drill, then it's more likely that you will respond in the correct way. This is what we've found that happens in Japan. And so during an earthquake, you want to be calm. If you're inside, you want to stay away from glass windows, doors, mirrors, that kind of thing. You want to take cover under a desk, and a strong, steady desk or table, and hold on until the shaking stops. You do not run outside because unless of course you're just a few feet away from the door, you step away from the doorway. But if you run outside and it's a very strong earthquake, it's likely that you can be damaged by stuff that might be falling, or you may trip over your own feet. There are cases in Haiti where you had people in the same house, some of whom ran outside, others stayed inside. Those who stayed and took shelter were actually able to get better protected. So you don't want to run outside. If you're driving, don't stop under a bridge and so forth. And then after the earthquake, of course, you check the damage and make sure you turn off your gas lines and so forth, and you check the damage before re-entering the building.
And that was Education and Outreach Manager for Seismic Research Center, Stacey Edwards. And in other news, a Jamaican marine engineer who has been charged with drug offenses was remanded in police custody in Barbados last week. Ralph James, a 61-year-old resident of a Spanish town in Jamaica, is charged with possession of a huge amount of quantity, which is cannabis, as he's also accused of intending to supply and traffic the drug. The Jamaican appeared in a Barbados court where he was not required to plea to the charges, as he is to return to court on December 14th. It was alleged that on Saturday, November 7th, James was arrested following the discovery of 138.4 kilograms of cannabis in his possession. He was reportedly caught within the limits of Barbados' exclusive zone. It is believed that James had intentions to supply and traffic the drug, according to media reports. The illegal drug had an estimated street value of Barbados of $553,600, with the Barbadian exchange rate being 2 to 1 US dollar. The Jamaican dollar value of the drug is approximately $40 million. And in other news, a Democratic election strategist Kelly Hyman says Joe Biden's centrist experience choices for cabinet will serve the USA well. She said his cabinet would be full of diverse faces who've seen a lot of past experience and will represent what is great about this country. She says it is unfortunate it took so long, but ultimately the American people spoke.
Well, I would say it's about time. I wouldn't necessarily call it a concession. Better late than never. It's unfortunate that it took Trump so long to do this. Usually there is a peaceful transition period. Trump has all the right to go through the courts and pursue his legal battles, but he's not going to win. The American people spoke, And they chose Biden. Over 6 million people chose Biden over Trump. So now it's time for us to move forward. And hopefully Donald Trump will concede and help the transition team move forward. And that's what we want to move forward with this country. Most of his challenges in the court, the cases have been dismissed. There has been no evidence of any type of fraud. There's been nothing substantiated that there was any type of voter fraud, and that people were so concerned about the election because Trump months before said, oh, there's going to be all this voter fraud and there's going to be all these problems, that really made sure that our election was safe and secure, which it was. And the American people spoke and they voted for Biden. And so now it's time for a new administration, and we need to move forward.
And that's the morning news. Here's a recap of the headlines. A former IMF economist Dr. Thompson Fontaine highlights one of the major mistakes made by Caribbean governments when seeking to advance their country's economies. A 61-year-old Spanish-tongue Jamaican marine engineer Ralph James, who was accused of possession of a huge quantity of cannabis with intention to supply, was remanded in police custody in Barbados last week. A Democratic election strategist Kelly Hyman says Joe Biden's centrist experience at cabinet selections will serve the U.S. well with diverse faces, with lots of experience, and will represent what is great about America. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. I've been your presenter, Hassan Robinson.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95.